Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. You know, folks, back in the 70s, early 70s, Bill Dunkelberg started polling small business owners and asking them what they thought about what's going on out in the economy. As they saw the marketplace in front of them, what were they seeing? How are they able to raise prices? Did they have the capital they needed? Were they building their inventories or letting them go down? What about inflation? What about credit, et cetera, et cetera? And he's been doing that now ever since. And every month he produces a report on what those small business owners told him. Thousands of small business owners across the country tell him. And he produces a report and he publishes it. And he joins us on every month to bring us that report. We're very happy to be the beneficiaries of that and to be also his friend, Bill Dunkelberg. Welcome back.
Hey, always a pleasure.
It's good to have you back. Bill's Bill, this May will be your 10th anniversary with us. How about that?
How about that?
Yeah. I wish I could
track. We're having fun.
Well, that's right. That's right. We're like baseball. we got your ERA here too, by the way. Bill, I got to fuss at you a little bit though. You got to start bringing us good news. I mean, this is getting out of hand, isn't it?
Oh, I'm doing my best, you know.
Maybe we need to ask some happier questions, Bill.
Well, I do see the, you know, some more happiness coming in the sense that I took our 2,114 observations, responses that we had in January, and I took all those I got after the 25th of January, so I wanted to just look at people who had answered the questionnaire after the Massachusetts election.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Guess what? Expected real sales volumes were 4 points higher.
Wow.
Than they were before the election. Plans to increase the total number of workers was 4 points higher than it was before the election. Plans to make capital expenditures were up 2 points over the pre-election numbers. And the percent expecting business conditions to be better, also up 3 points.
Now, let me make sure I understand. You polled your guys twice?
Well, no. But we get interviewed. People fill them out all through the month.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They come in different times, don't they?
Right. They come in all through the month.
So you segregated. You segregated pre-election and post-election,
right?
And let each group become their own little sampling.
Right. Right.
Ah.
So I had about 580 that we received and processed on the 25th of January or after. And I thought that was safely people who had filled it out and mailed it after
right.
the election and hearing the election news. And they were significantly more optimistic. So, you know, and what it did was it reduced all the uncertainty. I mean, uncertainty comes from change. And Congress was promising a boatload of horrible change. And
yeah.
And this just reduced the chance that health care bill would pass, and it made people feel better about the future.
I wrote an article 2 weeks ago that I published in my newspapers and in my newsletter, and the title of the article was "Uncertainty is the Enemy of Jobs."
That's it.
And the point I made in the article was that as long as businesses don't know how much their health care is going to cost them, they don't know how much their power, their energy is going to cost them, they don't know how much taxes they're going to be paying, as long as they have they don't know whether the government's going to is going to keep borrowing money and that's got to drive interest rates up and inflation up, or at least interest rates up. They don't know about all that uncertainty makes us say, you know what, until I see something that gives me some positive feelings about the future, I'm going to hunker down and stay where I am right now.
Exactly. So you had a good list there of the things that trouble small business owners and consumers, for that
yeah.
matter. I mean,
yeah.
this consumer has the same problem, And, you know, so that all that uncertainty, that and Washington is the major source of uncertainty for businesses, no question about it. They're changing things all the time, and that's not good.
Well, that's right. And it also, not only the policies, Bill, but the attitude about their ability to lead. I think that's part of it too, because, you know, as someone who spent a lot of time in a military uniform, you know, a commander with the wrong plan, but with the leadership ability, will be able to command troops a lot better than somebody with the best plan, but who's a feckless leader.
That's right.
When we come back, there's an M word that I want to ask Bill about when we come back, folks. That's right, the M word, and I'll tell you what that is right after these messages. 20 till, I bet Bill knows what that M word is. Stay with us, we'll be right back.
Meet the masses. Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
Little Bird's bringing us back from the Wayback Machine. 17 till, I'm Jim Blassingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. And my website is that same thing, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. And check out all the things we do there. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter while you're there. And, of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Dr. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business, NFIB. He's also a professor of economics at Temple University and one of the great small business, maybe the greatest small business economist of all time. That's a distinction you could handle, couldn't you, Bill? I mean, who else? Who? Well, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, you'd have to be, wouldn't you? I mean, there's nobody else who has a body of work like you in small business.
Well, that's probably true. I mean, there are some people who have, the Fed, remember, did some really detailed studies, and so
But they're just kind of drive-by kind of things. I mean, you've got a body of work here.
Nobody's got the data we have. You know, with the time perspective that we have.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm happy to say the Federal Reserve is now formally picking all that data, those data up.
Good.
And
Good.
We're working with them to make sure they stay right on top of
as
all
they
this
should
stuff.
And we appreciate that. And folks, you and I are the ultimate beneficiaries of that. So Bill, we thank you for that work. Bill, but it ties in perfectly with what I mentioned earlier about the M word. Now while you were doing your surveys back in the 70s, we had a president that used the M word, the malaise word. And he actually gave a malaise speech, and he tipped, if we weren't already in a funk here in the United States, he tipped us into a full-on period of malaise. And what I remember was Jimmy Carter didn't have a clue about how to motivate Americans, how to appeal as Abraham Lincoln said, how to appeal to our better angels. And I fear
he told us to quit spending.
That's right.
Put away our credit cards.
Yeah, and I fear that our current president, President Obama, if I could give him any advice, I'd say, President Obama, run away from the Jimmy Carter Act. You need to start appealing to our better angels and get us more hopeful, more motivated, and recognizing the assets of America, not maximizing the negatives. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, it's been for the past year or so hard to get people, hard to be inspired by listening to what's coming out of Washington. You know, there's just gloom and doom.
Well, the policies are bad. At least that's what you found is that in your research is that most people, most small business owners don't like the policies, which is one thing, but just the overall attitude, that's another thing. I mean, even the policies could be overcome if we could figure out a way to appeal to our better angels, and that's just not what's happening right now. And to me, this comes back, Bill, to what I've said before about the fact that I really don't think that the people who are in charge of Washington not only do they not understand how the economy works, they don't understand how the marketplace works.
Yeah, they don't, and they've had virtually no experience in the marketplace. They've all been kind of, you know, public sector kind of guys and gals, and so they don't know how it works. You know,
yeah.
We have that silly old saying that has so much truth in it. You know, they've never met a payroll. But
right.
if you haven't been involved in the private sector, you don't understand what bad things you can do to it by, you know, your offhand comments and the fact you don't smile and that you know,
right.
look like you're scared to death on
right.
the TV.
Right.
That's not
well,
good.
But also you don't understand how infectious a positive turn can be.
Yep, it can be.
And turn that around. But let's get back into the. So do you? Well, let me ask you. Do you agree that we're in a period right now with the leadership that's not unlike the malaise period that we had with Carter?
Yeah, I'd say that would probably be true. We find that if we go back to the 80-82 period, for example, by that recession, that second recession in the period ended in the fourth quarter of 82. And at that point, almost 50% of our owners, net of the pessimists, thought the economy was going to get better. They were optimistic. They saw the opportunity. They were
right.
excited. You know, this time in our fourth quarter, it was only 11%. I mean, nobody's
wow.
excited. Nobody sees.
So it's worse than that, period.
Yeah, and we probably, you know, and that's probably where we'll have bottomed. But people are looking forward from the bottom. Don't see anything to be excited about. That's the problem.
Now, and just so that you know, folks, that we are accurate about this, in our period, Bill and I both know that in 82 Carter was not in the White House, but what was being dealt with in 81 and 82 were the vestiges of the malaise period.
Exactly.
So let's talk about some of the other issues. Labor. You got more people are still laying off than are hiring.
Yeah, that's true. We still, in the January report, we asked them about the labor force, you know, how their hiring changed over the prior 3 months, which would reach back into November and December. And we lost about a half a worker per firm over that period, which squares
yeah.
with the BLS numbers. The BLS
mm-hmm.
keeps trying to cross the zero line, and it's close, but we didn't see any good news there. What we did see was another improvement in the net percent of owners who plan to increase the workforce. So that's
right.
crawling forward, but there's no surge like we would expect. I mean, you know, it's over, so things ought to be good, and you should be hiring people, and,
right.
You know, that's not there. Same way with capital spending plans and inventory investment plans.
Still
they all crawled forward.
Right, still weak, but maybe making a little progress. Stand by, quick break. Right back with Bill Dockerberg after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Dr. Bill Dockerberg is our guest. He's chief economist for the NFIB. That's NFIB.com. Check it out when you get a chance. They're an organization I've been telling you about for a long time. I've been a member of the NFIB for about 20 years, and I've been telling you about them since the first moment I ever broadcast the show. The very first guest on my show back in 97 was a member of the NFIB. Cleta Mitchell was her name, and she's still there in D.C. Bill Dockerberg has been with us since 2000, and he's still rocking and rolling with us. Bill, how do we find you? Your report is also available at NFIB.com. On my website, thank you for allowing us to do that, and also on your website.
Right, smallbiz.org.
So check that out, folks. It's the summary. He has lots of charts that are easy to read, but the summary is outstanding. So make sure that you check that out. Bill, you said capital spending still is in the doldrums. Inventories are still not building, are they?
That's right. They're not. We're still reducing inventory, and capital spending still kind of hanging at 35-year lows. But at least this time, plans to make capital outlays over the next 3 to 6 months gained 2 points. That was good. Still a very low number, but
yeah.
at least it was headed up. And plans to add to inventories went up 4 points. I think we've probably gotten rid of about all the inventory there is to get rid of, so we're ready to, if a customer will just come in the door,
pent
we'll
up
order
to,
something.
A little bit of pent-up demand there, hopefully. Inflation, profits and wages are really bad, and that's helping to hold inflation down. So that's kind of that's the only good news in this, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. We still have amazing numbers. From an historical point of view, amazing numbers of owners tell us they're reducing worker compensation, and, of course, we still have 20 percentage points more of the owners telling us that they're cutting their average selling prices rather than raising it. So there's certainly no inflation pressure right now. It's survival pressure. We're all just trying to hang on and wait for something good to happen. And
well,
maybe
it
will one of these days.
It's not good, though, Bill. Never mind inflation. It's not good when never mind pricing power. When small businesses can't even hold the line on their prices, what I see when I hear that is equity eroding.
Yeah, well, I think you're probably right. I mean, we still have about 40 percentage points more owners saying that from the third to the fourth quarters their earnings fell rather than rose. So the earnings trends are still horribly bad, and we need to see those turn around. They did improve about 5 points. But they're still very negative. So let's hope that we're on the upswing now.
When your earnings drop, and of course, Bill, as you know, in the scenario we've got right now, earnings drop doesn't mean instead of 4% profit, you make 2% profit. In this scenario, earnings drop means more losses.
Yeah, there are plenty of losses out there, I'm sure.
And that just erodes whatever equity you have, and that's death by a thousand cuts for a small business.
That's right. You know, I mean, we have an adjustment to go through. The 2003 to 2007 period was very hot, as you know, with spending.
Mm-hmm.
Consumers weren't saving. They were spending everything, and then they were using all this debt. So because of the strength of that spending, you know, we started too many firms. We have too many retail outlets, too many restaurants, too many strip malls, and, of course, we built too many houses. And that's something we're still trying to work through. So even the retail sales are improving a little bit nationally, they're still spread over too many firms, and so life feels very, very difficult.
And the credit market, Bill, the last thing here, the credit market, you're reporting that your respondents told you that it's more difficult to get loans. And so my question to you is that because of tightening of credit or because of diminishing of credit worthiness?
Yeah, I think the latter is the correct part.
Which comes back to the equity erosion I was talking about.
Right, and your P&L doesn't look so good because the sales trends have not been good. So it is more difficult to get a loan. But I think most of the small business owners, 90% of them, say they don't want to borrow or they got all the credit that they wanted. So most of them are okay. Because we had too many firms going into the recession, there are a bunch of firms that are struggling. They'd like to borrow money because they'd like to think they could survive if they could get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of them won't. So.
Yeah. Bill Dunkelberg, thank you for being here. President Obama, I know you're listening. I know you listen to my show. Find Bill Dunkelberg, bring him into your inner circle, let him help small business owners get out of this funk. He can do that. Bill, I know you'd help him if you called.
I certainly would.
So make sure you stay by the phone. I'm sure you're going to get a call anytime now.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Take care.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, what in the world would we do without Bill Dunkelberg? I don't even want to think about it. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.